Good morning. So if you are, 23, 24 or younger, I just wanted to tell you this morning that there was a time, believe it or not, where you could go throughout an entire day and no one would know where you were. I'm not kidding. This is real. And you couldn't be reached. You couldn't have a text come to you. You couldn't be called. The only way you could receive a call is if you were in your home or if you were willing to pay to call someone else. But you could spend an entire day doing what you wanted to do as opposed to the rest of the world. Do any of you remember this glorious time? And of course, there's nothing wrong per se with cell phones, and so let's not throw them all out. We're not starting a rebellion. But I have discovered that if you ever get irritated with accountability, I have a button on my phone, and please don't correct me with this because it's just my little dreamland that I live in. I call it the nothing button. It's beautiful. It's on the side of my phone, and if you go in and program it and you flip this thing down, you realize that nothing will happen with the phone if you don't interact with it. So it can just sit in your pocket, and it won't vibrate, and it won't ring, and the only way you know if anybody wants to get a hold of you is you actually have to flip open your phone. And you can spend time just doing what you want to do. I love the nothing button until I forget that I've left the nothing button on. And suddenly you can become quite a non-blessing to other people. In fact, a great source of frustration for maybe your spouse or your secretary or many people who are like, the world has ended. Why aren't you picking up? You were supposed to be here and doing this and all that. So it's an interesting thing. But how many of you know that not being able to communicate with the people around you, that's sometimes bad. Would you agree with that? Good to be in contact and connection. But let me tell you, what about when you can't communicate with God? Most of us have a flesh, which means that you and I have mastered the spiritual nothing button. And about the only time we hear from God is on Sunday when we open the face screen again. Like, oh, maybe you're talking to me. Maybe you're not. I don't know. I haven't really been paying attention. And so my sermon title this morning is, yes, a little convicting, but it comes from one of the greatest Sunday school lessons passages you ever heard of. How many of you know the story of Samuel lying in the tabernacle and hearing God call him Samuel, Samuel? If you spend any time around church, you've heard this story many times. Well, we're in that passage. But the question I have behind it is, are you tuned in to God or are you tuned out? And the big danger of being tuned out from God is that all kinds of mayhem can unleash itself when we are not listening to God, when we are not purposely being attuned to what God wants to say. How many of you have heard this verse quoted before? Without vision, the people perish. I mean, you've probably heard me say that. It's a great verse, isn't it? Well, let me read to you a little more expanded version of what it's actually saying. Where there is no vision, this is Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. But happy is he who keeps the law. Basically, what the verse is saying is, when there is no listening to the revealed word of God, when there is no one paying attention to what God says, then people will function in accordance with their flesh. They will do whatever they want. Well, what was the problem with Israel at this time and this season? There was no king in Israel, and everyone did whatever they wanted. And worship had completely broke down because at the heart of worship was the priesthood, and the priesthood was absolutely corrupt. The people who were supposed to be leading people to God weren't paying attention to God at all. And so the whole system had become dysfunctional. And that's why it's so important. If we are not tuned into the Word of God, to listening to God, being attentive to God, then worship breaks down. Well, how is God going to restore worship in a nation that's not listening to Him? Let me ask you a question. How does He think God wants to renovate Elgin Evangelical Free Church? How do you think He wants to make an impact here? Where will He start? Will He start with some flashy thing? You know, the pastor will wear a sheriff outfit and that'll fix it. No, not even close. What will need to take place? Look at verse 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli, and a word from the Lord was rare in those days, and visions were infrequent. So, no one is hearing from God. No one is following God in the way they should. And when God wants to change that, He starts with an 8 to 10-year-old boy who listens to Him. God wants to change the world. He starts with the person who is listening to Him and listening to His Word. This is such a great kind of plot development. I love the narrative history of the Old Testament, because here you have pan in on this young boy. We think he's probably, I don't know how old he was, maybe 8 to 10 years old. And you have a kid who has grown up and been trained to worship and serve the Lord, and he's living in a tabernacle full of, you know, priests who are off their rocker with sin and all this stuff's going on. And God says, you know, okay, no one's hearing from the word of the Lord, but we've got a kid who just might hear from God. So my question as we begin, are you tuned into the Lord or tuned out? Are you hearing God or not? And to begin to say I'm someone who's tuned in, it means that you would have to answer positively to this. Are you available? That's our first point. Verses 1 to 10. Are you available to hear? Are you busy? Are you available? And to be a person who is available to hear the Lord, it will start with this. You have to be someone who is humbly hearing. That is another way to describe the word listening. Because if you're going to be a good listener, guess who you have to put down? You. You have to take your agenda and your thoughts and everything, and you have to literally press them down so that you will listen to what the other person is saying. And the same thing is true of God. Here's the problem. Most of us are going through the motions and giving it the video and acting like we are listening when we're really not. We're kind of in our own world paying attention to our agenda and everything, but a lot of times we're not really listening. So I heard a great story. I read it, actually, and it was about the President Franklin Roosevelt. You can imagine how someone struggling with his physical ailments hated to stand in a receiving line and shake hands with people. Well, he would be standing there shaking hands, and it began to dawn on him that these were just pleasantries. People were kind of going back, and he wasn't sure if anyone was listening to him, so he came up with this experiment, and this is what he did. He's going through this big reception line, and so he decided he would shake everyone's hand, and then he would say this kind of under his breath. He'd murmur this, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." "Yeah, I murdered my grandmother this morning." And this is the responses he got. The guests were all like, "Marvelous, keep up the good work. We're so proud of you. God bless you, sir." Isn't that awesome? And it wasn't until he got to the end of the line that there was an ambassador who actually heard him. And then the ambassador, without skipping a beat, shook his hand. "I murdered my, you know, grandmother." And he looks in and he goes, "Well, I'm sure she had it coming." What a great story. Most of us won't care about what God says without a period of training in listening. I mean, we all understand we need to hear from the Lord, but really longing for that and desiring for that won't change until your training pattern to listen changes. How many of you know listening is hard work? It's hard work to listen. And if it's hard work to listen to another person, guess what? It's equally hard to listen to God. How is that going to happen? Well, what I love about this story is that you see that Samuel has been tuned his entire life to listen and to be in a servant's posture to hear the call of God. When you read this section of Scripture and we start through the next couple verses, begins in verse 2, it says, "It happened at that time that Eli was lying down, the priest was lying down, and now his eyesight had begun to grow dim and he could not see well. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was." Now here's what's interesting. The tabernacle was laid out so that, yeah, you still had a holy of holies. The ark of God was there. The curtain would separate it. Right in front of that was a room. Now Samuel would have been one who is a boy. He would be laying there on a mat in that room. And it talks about there being a lamp in that room. Well, what's that? You go back to the book of Exodus, and I believe it's in chapter 27 that we read about the golden lampstand, and it had seven different lamps or candelabra pieces there. And what it was according to God's law, that lamp had to burn all night long. Guess who was the keeper of the lamp? Now, ladies, let me ask you something. Which one of you feels confident to leave your 8-year-old up all night long to manage fire? This boy was handling the job of a priest. Not only that, meaning that he would have had to train himself to get up at regular intervals in the night to check on the lamp to make sure that it did not go out. How many of you feel like I'm describing your 8-year-old son? "Now, honey, mommy and daddy are going to go to bed. Please get up and check the alarms 3 or 4 times." No, but he had. And not only that, he was sitting there in the dark, and he had to have trained himself to listen to the voice of Eli. Why? Because Eli is going blind. He's an older man. And I'm sorry, let's all be honest, you tend to visit the restroom more the longer you live. And here's a man who needs help getting anywhere. So let me ask you, which one of you is excited about having an 8-year-old being your assistant? Let alone managing the entire night service of the tabernacle of God. But this boy had been so trained to be willingly serving that he was attuned and postured right. Who's going to be awake to hear the voice of the Lord? Who's going to be in a servant's posture? And who's going to be looking to help? How does that happen? How many of you would say that would take some work? That's what you see here. Samuel is tuned to respond in a right servant's posture. Not only that, his response is so great. When the voice of the Lord actually comes, and we read about it, here it says, he was lying down in where the ark of God was. Basically, here's the presence of God. That the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." That's his first response. When's the last time you woke up your kid and that's what you got? "Honey, it's time for school." "Here I am." I love my kids, but I'm sure I've never heard that. I love my mom, and I'm pretty sure I never responded that way. Because when you say, "Here I am," not once, but 4 times, every time you say it, this is what you're saying. "I'm available. I'm available. I am available to serve you at this point." Now, I don't want to get in trouble, but I'm basically talking about the job of a mom in the middle of the night to respond in such a way that when your kid walks in the room in the dark because their tummy is off and you literally have to turn around, instead of going, "Why?" you go, "Honey, what can I do?" Guys, how many times have you done that? You know, don't answer. You know, The truth is, this kid has been seasoned to respond. Here I am. I am available. I am ready. And he doesn't just say it once. It goes on. Then he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called for me. What can I do? How can I serve you?" But he said, "I did not call you. Lie down again." So he went and he lay down again. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose, went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called for me." But he answered, "I did not call." So Samuel did not yet know it was the Lord, nor that had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. I love this. How many of you are Princess Bride fans? We all know all the fun lines, but then there's that cheesy line from Wesley at the beginning of the movie. You know, the girl, he loves her, and every time he's a servant, and every time she asks him to do something, what does he say? "As you, what are you saying?" Well, he's really saying, "I love you." Yeah, I don't know whatever he did. But the fact is, the posture is that I am ready and willing and longing to be available to whatever you say. Now, let's all have a moment of honesty. How many of you feel like that's your devotional life right now? That's far. Far for me. Far for us sometimes. To be in this posture of humbly responding. But this is what I would tell you. You don't get that way without practice. You don't get that way without training yourself to be listening, to being ready to be a responder to what God is saying. And if I asked you, you know, how tuned are you yourself to be ready when God calls, I could also go on and say, is there any practice in your life right now of regular meditation on the Word of God? What does your devotional life look like? What does your prayer life look like? How can you and I be ready to receive God's calling if that is so anemic? You're like, this is getting convicting. Oh, it's just started. Let me tell you this. True humility is measured in quiet times. And I'll say this because I have to say it to myself. Young people, it doesn't matter your age. Listen to this. If you want to know how much pride there is in your life, just chart how many Bible times you've had with the Lord in the last week. Because if there's no paying attention to what God says, it doesn't matter how busy you are. It doesn't matter what you say. The truth is, you think you've got this. And you are listening to your calling and not God's. I wish I could make that different. And you need to know I'm not speaking out of judgment. I'm just telling you that the reality is, if there is no listening to the Lord, if there is no seeking to say, "God, I'm available to your agenda," and recognition that that's going to take time to learn that posture, then the truth is, we're not really about God's calling and God's instruction. We're about ours. How many of you are glad you came this morning? Look, this is what separates someone from being available and unavailable. The question is, am I available to hear what God's word will say? Humble hearing. Am I listening? Am I listening for the Lord? Is my heart response to go, "I want to hear what you say, God. I want to be available to you. This is who I am." And by the way, Christian, you are first and foremost a servant of Jesus Christ. I love that we are children of God. And yes, we are. Scripture says that. But the whole posture of the New Testament is, understand, I exist to serve Him, not the other way around. But you can spend your whole life in Christianity, especially Americanized Christianity, and believe that you are the center of the world. Is it any wonder you're so empty? Because I got to tell you something, as I tell myself, you're boring. You're not that fascinating. And your little world, it's a little world. I know it matters to you and there are important things in it, but guess what? You were saved to be part of His world, His gospel, His adventure, where you and the littleness of your life is suddenly taken by a living God, and as you listen, dragged into matters of eternity and adventure and glory. But oftentimes, the way we listen reflects that we have elected for our life over the life of Christ. And there is nothing I can do to make your world better. I can only offer you His. And that's what changes things. Do we believe that? Do you believe it? I should just keep asking until we're a crescendo, but I won't. You know? Man, that's what God's saying. If you're going to be available, you've got to humbly listen. But it's not just humbly listening. There is also then the flip side of humbly responding. As we begin to make it a priority to listen to the Lord God, what do you do when you actually hear? What happens when your devotions, you know, like jump up and hit you in the head? And Lord, like, whoa, you're talking to me! What do you do then? I love this. And by the way, just so you hear this from me, God is so gracious, I think, even in this picture. How many times does He call Samuel before Samuel figures out it's him? How many of you know we've got a God who pursues us? And how many of you know that you don't get voted off the island because you didn't hear Him the first time? We live by the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen? But understand this, Isaiah 55:6 says this, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near." There's a God who's after your heart. And He wants to pull you in to His world and His agenda and His adventure of the gospel. And He knows where you're at, and yet He's still there, and He's offering grace to you, and He's pursuing you. And I would just tell you that maybe when I brought up devotions, you really wanted to leave. I'm a pastor, and I am ashamed of my devotional life. Half, most of the time. There's always room for more. Amen? But guess what? Christ is still calling us, isn't He? And because of the grace of Jesus, there's a new day. And I'm just telling you, friends, today is the day to say, here I am. God is the God who saved you. You got to believe He can work with you, right? He can do what He wants to do. What's He waiting for you and I to say? Here I am. I'm here. I'm listening. It took me getting the head, hitting the head with a 2x4 and a really convicting sermon, but here I am. You know, okay. Here I am. I'm listening. That's what you want. But then how do you respond? Humbly responding. Look at verse 9. It says this, "And Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be that if he, God, calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place." Humble responding is really powerful. And the first place that I think we begin to see it manifesting, now listen to me as I say this, because it's really an important point, more important than I think some of us have let God wrestle with on. The very first thing Samuel does is he literally listens to his spiritual mentor. He gets under the wisdom and the authority of another. You want to know the number one danger I see? And this is a big statement to make as a pastor. The number one danger I see going on in the church today is everybody is trying to be autonomously okay. We are terrified of spiritual authority. God has given you elders and pastors, and God always says, get under them. Why? Because they give watch care for your soul. What is the last thing most people are doing in an American church? Getting under any elder's authority. In fact, they're trying to stay outside of it and be spiritually okay. Look, I'm the first one to say that by the grace of God, the elders of this church are okay. They love Jesus. We love Christ. We're seeking to follow Him. A lot of work to do. But God appointed us. And the reason you get under the spiritual leadership of a church is not because of how wonderful we are. It's because of how cool God is. And it's His authority. And that's not just... I mean, friends, if I take you into the very Trinity and Godhead, Jesus Christ willingly, joyfully submits to the authority of the Father. And they are equal. And yet He loves to be under and to do the Father's will. Everywhere you look in Scripture, God is calling you to listen and get yourself under spiritual wisdom and authority and to humble yourself. And when someone who you love and knows walking with the Lord calls you to do something, the first thing we do is retreat and go, well, I'm good. And you don't even know that you're shutting down the voice of the Lord. And people who would rescue you and love you. We're not perfect, but in God's church, this is the pattern. It's servanthood. It's can I get under? Can I get low? Not can I get sufficient? And the very first thing this kid does, even though Eli's got his issues and we're about to hear about them, is he listens to what he's told and he seeks to go, all right, I will do. I am a willing servant. I want to get under you. Oftentimes, in the 20 years of ministry that I've had, I have found people who were profoundly spiritual, with profound spiritual ideas about how things would work, and then I never see them getting under anyone. And my heart is sad, because they are outside of the body of Christ instead of functioning inside of it. The other thing is they're on their own. How many of you praise God for the people who've rescued you in this world? Spiritual people who loved you. Maybe it was a pastor. Maybe it was your mom, your dad. You obeyed. You listened. I'll never forget my dad. He put his arm around me. I'm in junior high, and God bless you, junior hires, just all over the map. I remember he just grabbed me. He's like, son, listen. If you will listen, it will change your life. To this day, I've got 3 or 4 guys in my life. When I come up against something I do not know what to do, I call them. I don't know what to, what would you say? How would you advise me? And I have gotten everything from, that's a good idea, John, to, you are an idiot. Verbatim words. You are an idiot. Thank you. I thought so, but I wasn't sure. Man. Can I tell you, they have rescued my life more than once and pointed me to Christ. You say, I know, maybe too much out of one point, but this doesn't happen unless there's a willingness to submit to a spiritual leader. And it's powerful. Humble responding, Samuel listens to his spiritual mentor. Here's the second thing. What happens when someone is tuned to listening with a servant heart and follows spiritual advice? What happens? What is the byproduct of that kind of humility, whether it's in a church or in the individual lives of people or in my life? What happens? Samuel, in humble responding, experiences a personal God. Don't miss this connect. They experience a personal God. Are you wanting to know the only true God? Well, here's the avenue that Samuel goes down and he experiences him. It says this, then the Lord, verse 10, came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. If you want a great pattern for listening to the Lord, I love this because Eli basically says, go lie down, and I would give you these 4 steps. First one, get quiet. How many of you know there's a lot of noise these days? Some of us are hiding in the noise. We don't know it. There's always something on. Our television broke this week. Mixed reviews. Glory! Oh, sport. It's been a really good week. And I'm discovering I was deviating there, and all of a sudden I was like, wow, that's really interesting. That was not a bad... If you have a television, you love Jesus and he loves you. You're good. But it is so interesting that we don't know how to be quiet. If you're a young person here that lives with sound bites and video clips constantly and gaming, one of the biggest dangers you're going to have to face is that you can't have a relationship with Christ without silence. We can't do it. We have to be quiet. Psalm 62:1, my soul waits in silence for God only. From Him is my salvation. You wanna get with God this week and listen to Him? Get quiet. Find a place to get quiet. Get your Bible and get quiet. And then don't be like, okay, it's been 3 minutes. I'm busy. I got stuff to do. Wait. Get quiet and wait. Psalm 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. And in His word I do hope. Maybe the first thing we've got to do this week is repent for not being willing to wait. And then listen. Isaiah 55:3. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Isn't that a sweet promise? How many of you can have a little regeneration of the soul this week? Sound good? It'll cost you some quiet. It'll cost you some quiet. And then finally, I love this, you have to be willing to surrender. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. You may have come and quiet with your agenda, but maybe God wants to talk about something else. Speak, Lord, your agenda. What are you saying to me? How's this going to happen? Can I just share with you one of the glorious things about the Hebrew language? This verse 10, is awesome. I'm going to read it to you. Here we go. Then the Lord came and stood and called as His other times. He says, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Now I'm going to take you into the Hebrew. Any of you remember what I told you Samuel's name means? It kind of, if you stretch it all out, it means answered from the Lord. But when you say it, guess what word you're saying? Listening. So this is how it would have sounded in the dark. The Lord came and stood, and at other times He said, listening, listening, and listening said, speak, for your servant is listening. You want a goal for your life, Christian? That would be talking about you. Because God comes as the rightful Lord and ruler of our life, who loves you, died for you, lives for you, sustains you by His grace, and in His merciful grace, when He didn't have to pay attention to you at all or include you in anything, He comes to us and He says, listening? First thing, out of the Lord's mouth, listening? Because all of your relationship with God now has been bought by Jesus Christ, but it is entered into by your willingness to say, listening. All blessing, all joy, all experience, guess what? We make that about God. Who's it about? Who's listening? Jesus Christ loves to show off. Anybody believe that? He wants us to know Him. His mercy is great. His grace is abundant. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to be part of His program. The question is, are you listening? Are you willing to? Am I? I think that's pretty profound. The other thing is, did you catch where it said, and the Lord came and stood? okay, things just got a little more real, didn't they? This is not a voice in the dark. This is suddenly Samuel turned around and had a conversation with the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. Because when God appears in the Old Testament, we call that a theophany. What is that? A physical representation of the living God. And the only one of those is the eternal Son. His name is Jesus Christ. Before he came, guess who had a conversation with God in person? A little boy named Samuel. Why? Because he was listening. How many of you want to talk to Jesus? Friends, I know where he is today. He is at the right hand of the throne of God, and he intercedes for you and me. Amen? How many of you know through the power of the Holy Spirit, he is present? Who you want to talk to today? Who do I? It's Jesus. That's so good. All right. Let's keep going. Samuel is available. And because he's available, and he humbly hears, he's listening, and he's in a servant's posture, then he is called into humbly responding, humbly obeying and listening. So the next thing, are you willing? I did get to the point eventually. There we are. It's one thing to hear from the living God. That sounds awesome. The next is, oh, and you've got to be willing to do what he says. You've got to be willing to respond. Frankly, I think this is one of the reasons we're not listening. Why do I not do my devotions? Because I know he's real. And he might have something to say about the way I've ordered my life. What do you think? That's the truth. It's this accountability. Are you willing? And for Samuel, imagine, he has not heard the voice of the Lord, but he has served God his whole life. He's a kid, and this is the obedience thing that God gives him. And it is a difficult, difficult duty. Why? The duty is always the same. It is to speak the truth of God and to be aligned and loyal to the truth of God. Look at verse 11. It says, "The Lord said to Samuel, 'Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it, they will tingle.'" Basically, when God overemphasizes a point, it's to say, everybody's going to be talking about this. This is going to be the subject of conversation in Israel. "In that day, I will carry out against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to judge his house forever." Oh, this is heavy words. "For the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves, and he did not rebuke them. They abused the sacrifice and the worship of God." So he says, I'm going to do this. "Therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Basically, Jesus says, the die has been cast. I am going to judge you, and there is no sacrifice that is going to atone for this. Your judgment will come, and this is how it's going to happen. Now, if this is the first time you had heard from the Lord, how would you feel about giving this message out? I mean, I preach what I believe is the message of God to you, and I cannot remember a sermon where I got up and said, "You, God is going to judge your household. There's no way to atone for it. Don't even pray. You're done." It's a great way to grow a church. It's good. Maybe it is a great way. Friends, understand this. This is a very significant message that God has called a young boy to be loyal to deliver. But when we hear from God, you need to know that what we are aligning ourselves with him, when we say we are available, we serve a God of truth. Amen? And it's the truth that sets us free. And guess what? The truth is always hard, but it's always best. Because God works in truth. And by the way, when he says he's looking for worshipers, he says, "I'm seeking worshipers who will worship me in spirit and in truth." So for us, it is to come to God and listen to God and say, your word is true. I have to follow what you say is true. Be faithful to what is true. In Acts chapter 20, verse 26 to 27, the Apostle Paul says, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God. You know, one of the things when you're a pastor and a preacher that you live with is you know you're going to give an account for what you say. And I got to tell you, I am a people-pleasing, bring the love. Just tell me how great I am, and I'll be happy. You know, my heart struggles with that, just like everybody does. But you know what I live in fear of, and this holds me, is that I, in a desire to want to be nice or to want you to like me, would somehow condemn somebody to hell because I did not speak the truth of the gospel. Sin kills. You are a sinner. Your only hope is Jesus. Period. Amen? And that has to hold us. But like what I think is so powerful is that here's this young boy, and he is given an incredibly hard duty to do a task from God to basically turn around, and the very one who told him to listen to God, he now has to turn around and say, God's not listening to you? Talk about strong. Friends, the truth of God and obedience to it will take us places that are a little nerve-wracking. Amen? But God has His good in mind and His whole counsel, and He wants us to be a loyal messenger. It basically means that you're supposed to be a megaphone. And don't get the idea of you up in somebody's face shouting. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean that God wants to take you and take me, and because we are listening, He wants our lives to amplify His truth. You get that? God wants to use you, wherever you are, to amplify the truth of who He is and what He's done, and He wants to do it in the context of where you live. And the only way He can use you as an amplifier is if you're listening to Him and hearing His word. And if you're not, consider, what are you amplifying? What am I amplifying? But this is what God does. And I also love that God is very gracious with us. How many of you know what's true and have been terrified to say it sometimes? Oh, come on, be honest. There are even just simple obediences, maybe not even a confronting of someone else, maybe even just apologizing, terrifying. How is this going to work? And I love that we have this gracious God, because look at verse 15. No, it's 15. So Samuel lay down until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And look what it says. But Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. Now, did you see God pounce on him right there? You were afraid? How dare you? He doesn't say that at all. In fact, Samuel is never rebuked from the fact that he was fearful of the message that God gave him. There's no condemnation for that. And here's one of the great things. How many of you are glad that we have a Savior who can empathize with our weaknesses? Do you think Jesus, who is perfectly holy and the Son of God, ever had to say something to His mother? And out of love for her, he thought, how can I gently do this? Oh, we can't have a Savior that human, can we? But one who knows what it is, who out of love. This is Eli. This is his mentor. This is the guy who he's lovingly helping around. And God's called him to do this. This is tough. There's no condemnation for the fear of this. But you know what there is? There's no contamination in the message either. Because the next morning, Eli comes right to him. I mean, something like this hasn't happened in a long time. God spoke to him. Hang in there, we're almost done. Then Eli called to Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he said, here I am. Again, did you notice what's holding Samuel? Service. I am a servant of God first, and the people around me. Samuel, my son, here I am. I am available. I am here available. He said, what is the word that he spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the words that he spoke to you. Now, by the way, I think that probably encouraged Samuel to speak. May God do this to you. All right, here it comes. So Samuel told him everything, and he hid nothing from him. Just try to put yourself in the room with a 90-year-old priest who's blind and an 8-year-old boy telling him this. What? Talk about a moment of intense obedience and unique. And frankly, friends, when God shows us pictures like that, it's to give you hope that your situation couldn't possibly be more crazy than that. God knows what it's like to carry the weight of moments. And Samuel, out of obedience to the Lord, delivers the message. And look at Eli's response. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. I find that as one of the most tragic statements I've ever read. That we would ever get to a point that we lose hope in our Savior. I mean, you look at other places in Scripture where people do horrific sins and they throw themselves on the grace of Jesus Christ and God moves. But it didn't happen. And so you kind of come to the end of this, and I'm glad there's an epitaph because it's so depressing. But one of the things that will happen is if you are listening and if you are willing, then you become a person who is usable. Are you usable to the Lord? See, a person who is usable to the Lord is someone who is listening to Him, has postured himself to say, God, I am available to hear what you say. I want to respond to what you say and be obedient. I am listening. Well, when you do that, you become someone that God can use in a profound and powerful way. God's not going to stop His promises to you because you fail in this regard. It's just you're going to miss out on this. Look at verse 19. You're going to miss out on connected growth. Thus Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall or fail. This is so powerful because what it just said to us is that Samuel's development was totally supported and undergirded by God Himself. When we put ourselves in the position of listening to the Lord and living out in obedience to His Word, guess what? Do you think God honors His Word? Do you think God supports His truth? Well, which would you like your life aligned to? His truth or yours? You see, when we are the captain of our own ship, we're on our own. But when our life is literally being sowed to the Word of God, whether it's a good day, a bad day, any day, it doesn't matter. Your life will not fall, will not fail, and God will continue to grow and stabilize you. I love that picture. Secondly, there's a connected message. Look at verse 20. All Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. This is so cool to me. Because an 8-year, 9-year-old, 10-year-old boy listens to the Lord, and God speaks to him His word, and he's faithful to deliver the message. What happens? An entire country hears about it. Because God doesn't let this word fail. And God does a redemptive work, and it becomes evident that the message that you are promoting is connected to God because it comes true. It's an incredible picture of how God sustains and changes things. He begins to speak through Samuel. And finally, I love it, it's connected worship. Look at verse 21. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, because the Lord revealed Himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. This is so powerful to me. Apparently, God hadn't been hanging out in Shiloh very much. Why? Because what was going on there was abhorrent to Him. And yet now, the place that all of Israel is disdaining and doesn't want to be anywhere near the worship of God, notice how God cleanses and brings a heart of worship back. And the Lord again appeared at Shiloh. The Lord again moved because the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. There was the right kind of interaction. I would just say this, friends. God wants to be unleashed with power. He will always begin with the humble listener. God wants to do a radical work here at Elgin Evangelical Free. It will not be anything but the beginning of people who listen to him. I wish it could be something else. I wish it could be a show. I would love to be it, but that won't change unless God's people begin to listen to his word. But if we will, God will move with power. So are you listening? I'll end with this story because I love it. There was a young man way back in the day who was applying for a job to be a Morse code telegraph operator. And jobs were scarce, and so there was a sign on the receptionist's desk at this building that instructed the applicants to come in and fill out a form and to wait in this room. And there was probably about 8 to 15 guys in the room, and they're all madly filling out their forms. And after a few minutes, this young man who had walked in last suddenly stood up, walked to the door where the boss was, opened the door, and went in. And the whole room exploded in anger. Like you can imagine, the other applicants, they're grumbling, they're mad. Wait a minute, he's the last one to come in. We never even got a chance to be interviewed. This isn't fair. And all of a sudden the employer walked out and he said this, "I'm sorry, but while you've been sitting here, the telegraph has been ticking out in Morse code. If you understand this message, then come right in. The job is yours." Are we listening? Let's pray. God, this is one of those messages that, boy, it just speaks to our hearts. Mine, God, am I listening? Are we listening? God, you took a boy and you transformed your nation. What will you do if we listen? God, you know every one of us in this room. You know where we have failed to be tuned to you. And God, you know where we've listened. But God, this day we pray for ears to hear, a willingness to get quiet and spend time in your word and to pray and to seek your face. And God, may the response be that our worship would be pure and engaging and inviting, and that people would know that it is truly about you. God, that you would begin to do a work in our lives and our homes. God, everything that we would try to fix stuff has a short shelf life apart from listening to you. And God, I pray for a new day of quiet times in our church. We love you, Lord. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.